This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
Amen. Turn over to the book of Acts. I'll give you a chapter in a minute. Conscience. Conscience. The word. It's synonymous with scruples, with ethics, with principles. Now, friend, there's seven things that are related to a conscientious Christian in today's world. There's seven characteristics that are prevalent among those believers that live their life for the one that suffered and died for them. Now, I'm saying that in that manner because the Lord Jesus Christ was brought to this earth. He was the only begotten Son of God. He came here to seek and to save that which was lost. That's His own words. He suffered a shameful death. He died a shameful death. He suffered much pain prior to that. He was buried in the grave for 3 days. And then He rose again, praise God, victorious over death and hell. I say all that I believe a conscientious Christian will live their life with these seven characteristics when they live their life for the one who suffered and died for them. Listen carefully. When they live their life putting Him first. Listen carefully now. When they live their life putting His feelings first. When they live their life putting His thoughts, His desires, and His will before their own. I believe the characteristics that we're going to look at tonight are attributes in a person's life. I believe they are vividly apparent from the moment that conviction of salvation lays in on a person's heart. And the reality bears witness with what Jesus Christ did for them. I believe all of these things are present in a Christian's life. These are areas of growth. They are areas of gain. And they are fortified by areas of gratitude toward the one who suffered and died for them, the only begotten Son of God. So, without further ado, Acts in chapter 8. Acts in chapter 8 tonight. When you get there, let's all stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. And we're going to read 11 verses to open this evening. Acts in chapter 8 and in verse 28. Acts 8, verse 28. The Bible says, was returning and sitting. Now, you know this is referred to the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's go ahead and read 12 verses and we'll move up to verse 27. And it says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge over her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now that's Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Boy, I tell you, that's not convicting right there from a lost man. Amen. He's not saved yet. We think we can do this thing alone, praise the Lord. Amen. I talk to people all the time. They say, well, I just have church at home on the TV. Let's keep going. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, if you've got a funny Bible out there tonight, the next verse is not there. Verse 37. But the Bible says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, but the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Heavenly Father, we pray your mighty hand upon the Scriptures tonight. Pray that you touch and tender our hearts, dear God. Let everything said and done be according to thy will, that we may bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in the name of the only begotten Son of God, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. I believe painstakingly present tonight are these seven noted characteristics that we're going to look at. I believe it is eternally recorded inside the Word of God. I believe that it is reverenced and revealed in the life of this first Gentile convert, this first Gentile to be saved and born again, this Ethiopian eunuch. And I believe we can see the very first characteristic tonight as to what this Ethiopian eunuch was carrying in his hand. He was carrying it in his hand and later carrying it in his heart. If you see in verse 28, he was coming back, of course, from Jerusalem where he was to worship. And the Bible says, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now, beloved, he was reading, he was studying, if you will, the Word of God. He was carrying it in his hand. This young man was carrying the Word of God with him. Now, I don't know how he got it. Somebody either gave it to him. He either bought it while he was in Jerusalem. I was in the middle of looking at this thing a little bit this morning. The Lord laid another message on my heart, maybe for a Sunday, this coming Sunday or the one afterwards. So I'm not going to go too far into this thought about the Ethiopian eunuch and how he got this piece of the Word of God in his hand. I tell you what I liken it unto. This Ethiopian eunuch was sitting up in that chariot and he was reading the book of Isaiah. He was reading out Isaiah 53 and he was reading that thing and he was reading. You see what I'm doing here? He was reading that thing. Somebody may have given him a piece of the Word of God. Amen. He may have just had one chapter. He may have just had one leaf. Hey, listen, we've heard countless reports from Africa over there of churches that were started with the preacher having one leaf out of the Bible. For 3 years, one pastor started a church over there with hundreds of people in his church. He had one piece of paper from the Bible. Say amen. People got saved. They got born again. I often wondered from what book, what chapter, what verses was on that one leaf from the living Word of God that that man preached 3 years. Amen. I don't understand it. Preachers come to me at times. They say, preacher, I just don't have anything to preach. I said, when's the last time you read your Bible? Amen. I tell you, J. Frank Norris, he used to say, you got nothing to preach, boys, grab yourself a newspaper in one hand, a Bible in the other, and start preaching. Amen. Listen, if I get up here one night and I just start telling you my testimony, that's because I ain't got nothing to preach out of the Bible. But I'm going to preach something, amen. I'm going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ that He saved my soul who was not worthy of being saved. He died on the cross for me, praise God. If I got up here and read John 3:16, or for that matter quoted it and was thankful to Him and lifted up His name, I believe God will receive the glory, amen and amen. One of the characteristics that you find here in this Ethiopian eunuch that he was carrying the Word of God. Now, you don't need to turn there. I'm just going to give you a Bible reference real quick. You can write it down and look at it at home. But I believe I can get there pretty quick tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. If you're a Bible believer here tonight, and you're going to be a conscious Christian in your life today, you need to carry the Word of God. You say, preacher, do I need to have the Bible with me everywhere I go? We already talked about this prior to church service. I believe it's important for those that name the name of Christ to memorize Scripture. Pastor Ellis always told us that there may come a day when they come to your house and they take every King James Bible from your premises and take them out and burn them. You say, preachers, no way that can happen. Well, I tell you what, ask a bunch of Germans whether that can happen. Amen? Ask a bunch of German Jews whether or not that Torah and those synagogues can't be burned down. Amen? And I'll tell you, the guy we got in the White House right now wouldn't surprise me one bit. That's what he did. He doesn't have an ounce of Christianity nor Christ inside of him. I believe he's a Muslim from the tip of his head, or to the top of his head, to the tip of his toes. I believe he's lock, stock, and barrel in them with him. But I don't care either if you want to know the truth. Because listen, if Peter and Paul can serve under the wicked Caesars of Rome, we can serve under the wickedest president that we ever choose to put in the office in America. And I said that right, choose. If you didn't vote, I don't want to hear you complain. Amen. If you voted for Obama, you can repent after the church service. Amen, preacher. Now listen, this man right here, This Ethiopian eunuch, I believe, is a characteristic that we can find that we can apply in our life today to carry the Word of God with us, to have the opportunity upon our heart to quote what the Lord has laid right there. You heard Sister Vicki say Philippians 4:13 during the introduction of the service tonight. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I would imagine here tonight that if Sister Vicki came up here and testified, I can imagine a few days and times and hours in her life where it wasn't just a verse to quote on Wednesday night. Amen, sister. I can imagine there were some times in her life when things seemed a little bit struggles. They seemed a little bit dark. She seemed a little bit weak in her body and maybe in her mind. And I believe she relied on that verse just a little bit stronger than just being a Bible verse to quote on Wednesday night. I know I did, sister. Sister, if you don't mind me, just I know the church has given the testimony. I can remember a time down at Centennial Medical Center that I pretty well know for a fact that Sister Vicki probably leaned on that Bible verse, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen. I believe that. I saw a patient today diagnosed with MS in February. He came home from work on a Friday night in August of 2010, and his back was hurting. He ended up going to the ER. They thought he had a ligament tear in the lumbar spine. It ended up not being that. And overnight, lost the use of his left lower extremity, completely used. He said there was no warning whatsoever, just gone. And they finally took the MRI. He was diagnosed with MS. And lesions was there in his brain, and I brought to memory our Sister Vicki. See, I imagine Sister Vicki quoted Philippians 4:13 quite a bit during that time. And you know what? It rang true. She went back and she had another MRI done. The lesions are gone. That's God. That's God. During those dark times in your life, during those days of struggle, during those times when you just don't know how the bills are going to get met, just during those times when you don't know how in the world you and your wife or husband are going to get through the next week, during those times when you just don't see how you're going to get up out of bed the next day, you need to carry that Word of God with you, remaining a conscient Christian in his life today. Remember, the second thing that you find in this young man's life, not only was he carrying the Word of God, but he had a craving for the Word of God. He had a desire in his heart to know and understand that which what he was carrying in his hands. In verse 31, the Bible says, "And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." Philip simply was witnessing the Lord Jesus Christ unto him. Philip was just doing exactly what he was supposed to do. And that man had a desire for that man of God to sit with him. He had a craving to know more about the living Word of God. Let me ask you this tonight, friend. Do you have a craving and a desire to be guided through the right ways of the Word of God? You know why some people don't want to know much about the Word of God? Because they're afraid they're going to be held responsible or accountable to it once they know it. Hey, let me give you a newsflash. You're going to be held accountable for it anyway. Amen? You know, you say, "Preacher, why?" Because too many people died, too much blood was shed, too many battles have been fought so that we may have the perfect, purified, preserved, living Word of God in our hand today. And God's not, when you get to heaven and you say, "Well, Lord, I just didn't read that chapter," He goes, "It's not my fault. I gave it to you." Amen. By the way, I sent a preacher down there to harp at you and bark at you all the time, tell you, "Read your Bible." It wasn't my fault. Amen. It wasn't me. That's what God's going to say. See, I'm here to tell you tonight, guys, if you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, you want to know more about Him. Amen. You want to know more about His Word. And there was a craving in this Ethiopian eunuch's heart. He had a desire to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a desire to know more about this Word that he was carrying. 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even the Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." This Ethiopian eunuch had a craving to know more about the man who lived and died for his sins. Thirdly, we find that this young man was captivated. Look down in verse 37. And he said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Now watch his answer. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now I don't know who in the world want to remove that out of the Bible. Amen. I'll tell you who the devil wants that thing out of there. I had a good friend of mine tell me one time, he says, this preacher, he said that the devil wrote the NIV. I said, "Amen." He was complaining, and I was going, "Amen." If you're going to be a conscious Christian in this life, if you're going to have principles and ethics and scruples about your Christianity, if it's going to be on your mind and your thought processes and the words that you say, the ways that you live, the works that you perform, if that is going to be part of your growth and your gain and your gratitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to carry the Word of God inside your heart. You're going to have to carry it with you. You should have a craving to know more about the Son of God. But beloved, you should be captivated with who this Savior is, with what word He has given. Now, I tell you what, let me give you something else here. Look, this is free. This is what He's captivated by. This is neat now. I like this part. Read that. Where's that verse again? Verse 37. He said, what did He say? He says, I believe that Jesus Christ, what? What was that next word? Is. John chapter 8 and verse 58, the Lord Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. Hey, that eunuch didn't say, I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He said He is the Son of God. He's always been the Son of God. He always will be the Son of God. Amen. And that eunuch made a confession right there. A glorious conversion came upon his soul. Listen, he was captivated by the fact of a man who was, who has been, who is, and will ever be. Praise God. And Jesus Christ just, Jesus Christ just supported that whole thing. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Praise God. I don't know about you, talk about being captivated with the Word of God and carrying that thing. I got into the book of Exodus the other day, I think it was Monday. And I mean, before you know it, hours had went by. And I had read through that book of Exodus. I mean, it just came alive, amen. I don't know how your mind works, and I'm probably going to tell you a little bit too much about myself. You probably hold it against me, that's fine, I've said worse. I was reading, it was like the pages were, this is going to freak you out, I know it is. Man, lock the back door. It was like the pages were moving, and as they started telling the story of Moses and the babies and the mighty works, and 80 years went by, and he comes back in there, it was like it was coming alive right on the pages, man. It was like a cartoon. It was a pop-up book. That's what it was. Oh, it was glorious. Praise God. And I tell you, that Exodus 3 over there is when it all started. Oh, Moses said, I'm going to go over and see why this bush ain't being consumed. God said, no, you're not. You're going to take your shoes off. Amen. Out there in the backside of the desert of Midian, living with a bunch of pagans. Amen. Over there raising a bunch of pagans of sheep. That's what he was doing. God said, I'm going to go down and visit Moses. I'm going to go look at this bush. God said, nope, take your shoes off, for thou standest as hallowed ground. Well, Moses started in all them excuses and everything. God then gave me a message on that too. That was good. If it was just for me, I loved it. He said, I am has sent thee. Guys, you understand tonight that you don't serve a God that was created in the 6th century? Do you understand tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ came down and died on a cross for your personal sins because you're a wicked sinner? It's your fault you killed Him? You flipped the switch? All the Jews, all the Romans, no, the Americans, amen. I'm leaning toward the thought that we Americans are more vile than the Romans ever were. You just don't see it out in the open as much. Oh, but it's been getting there. This eunuch was captivated, son, by that Word of God. He was captivated at a God that stepped down off the throne of glory and stepped down into a place where confined by time and sickness and hunger and pain and sweat and dirt and stink and everything else that comes with the cursed earth just to die for Him. The Lord said, I am have sent thee. That eunuch made one of the most profound statements that anybody in all of the eternal Word of God has made. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was captivated. You know what else you find inside that verse 37? You find a confession. I mean, without hesitation, this eunuch allowed the conviction of his heart that Jesus Christ died for his sins. And with confidence, he made a confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Hey, listen, without hesitation, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He possessed a confession. And the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 9, chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou, now the big word, you know what the biggest word inside that verse is? If. Because it's conditional. And it puts the ball in your court. That you got to make a decision. That if thou shalt confess. That word confess is a compound Greek word put into one word in the English. Which means agree with. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. What's the next two words? The Lord. Hey, listen. Don't take this wrong what I'm about to say. But you can't confess Jesus Christ without confessing Him as Lord. You can't agree that Jesus is the Messiah. You can't say that He's the Son of God. You can't say He's the Son of Man. You can't say that He was born a virgin. You cannot have Him as your Savior tonight without a confession that He is Lord, the self-existing Eternal One, that He always has been, that He always will be, that He always is, that He died and rose again for you and me. You've got to confess Him as the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth man believeth unto righteousness. Amen. For with the mouth confession is made, but with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's God. And that's what this eunuch did that day. And you know how that eunuch, you know why that eunuch did that? You know where it started? Somehow he got the Word of God in his hand. He got that Word of God in his hand, sat in that chair, that Word of God got in his head. It wasn't long that Word of God got in his heart, boy, and it made a change. He was carrying the Word of God. It was right here. He had a craving to learn about the Word of God. I mean, he had a craving to know more about the Word of God. He had a desire that, Philip, get up here and talk to me about Him. He was captivated by this Messiah. He had a pure and plain confession of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But let me not stop you there real quick. Can I keep going? I said there were seven for those that are counting. Amen. You know what that man had? He had a companion, Brother Coulter. In verse 31, the Bible tells me over there that Philip took off a running. Now watch this here. Verse 31, it says, and he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? The Bible tells me over there in the book of Psalms that there's safety in the multitude of counselors. You know what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans? He said, no man liveth unto himself. Watch this. And no man what? Dieth unto himself. You are not going to live this life on this earth without affecting someone's life. And nobody else is going to live without affecting yours. Amen. We think we can do it alone. We think, I'll just go myself. I'll just do what I want to do. I don't feel like going down there to that old building tonight. And that's why they're still babes drinking out of milk bottles when they should be having a porterhouse in the Word of God. That eunuch got a hold of it, son. That eunuch got a hold of it. I mean, he said, listen, he didn't sit there and say, yeah, I know what this thing says. I know what it means. I know what the Bible says. Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child, doesn't it? No, Samuel Butler said that in 1859. The Bible says, spare the rod, hate thy son. But you know what? How many Christians you can confuse tonight by saying the Bible says that? They don't know. You know why? Because they don't read the Bible. But a conscious Christian tonight, one with discernment, one with scruples, one with ethics and principles of the Word of God, will have a companion, one that can pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I got something to run past you. What does the Word of God say right here? I had a friend of mine that was texting me. I was sitting at the house waiting to come to church tonight. And I think I was actually waiting on a cup of coffee to be made. By long shot, I was waiting to come to church. And so a text message went off and I looked and it says, this is what it says. It says, he said in there, he said, does it say anywhere in the Bible that the Jew is going to return into the land of Israel? Now listen, I'm not sarcastic at all. Y'all know me well enough. Amen? But I wasn't being sarcastic this time. I said, yeah, about 1,000 times. He said, well, that helped me out a lot. I said, I preached on it about 6 weeks, man. I mean, my goodness, the whole Bible's full of it. I mean, I don't have time to go through every verse that you wanted in there. And he kept sending me these emails. I said, okay, fine, you ready? So I shot him over about 20 or about 15 verses out of about 10 books of the Bible there, Old Testament, New Testament. Romans chapter 11 is the easiest, the most simplest chapter to understand that God's going to bring them back into the land. That's easy. Ezekiel chapter 37 is the clearest one with the dry bones. I mean, to me, it's there. It's common sense. We all know that. Well, let me tell you something. If that friend of mine wouldn't have that ability to call somebody up and ask them those things, where would he be tonight? Still wondering whether or not Israel's going to go back in the land. Understand that, what I'm saying to you tonight. We need companions. We need people that we know and love. We need somebody that we can pick up the phone and we can sit down with and say, can you guide me a little bit in the scriptures right here? And here's the other thing. We need not be afraid to ask. Amen. Y'all know, remember back when you was in school? There was always somebody in the class that was always asking questions, kept you there late, wanted to know about this. Well, that was me. Amen. If I had a question, I wanted to know why it was there. Oh, and you know what? And I'm just saying this right now. We need to know things. And if you want to know, you're going to know by asking. You're going to know by being in the house of God. You're going to know by reading and praying over that Word. Because we need one another. We need one another so that we can continue to work together. You know what else we find here about this old Ethiopian eunuch? I love this old boy. I'll tell you what, first Gentile gets saved, it just blesses my heart. Not only did he have a companion to show him that word of God. Friend, you ought to be that companion to someone. There ought to be somebody out there right now that's got questions about what's going on in the world. And you use this stuff in the Middle East, and you use this stuff in our world today, and you use that to bring Jesus Christ and that cross to their forefront so they have to get in the crossroads of their life and make a decision to be saved or reject Jesus Christ. You use that stuff. I use it every day. I don't browbeat people, but I'm telling you right now, I'll talk about golf, I'll talk about tennis, I'll talk about badminton if I have to get into a conversation to witness Jesus Christ to somebody. Amen? I've always taught our people in soul winning, I've taught this in business and the same thing, if you'll learn a little bit about a lot of things, you can have a conversation with anybody. I can sit down with a gearhead and I can talk to them about cams and cars and horsepowers and all this and that. And half of what I'm saying, I really don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. It sounds good. Yeah. And I use it to get in the middle of that conversation and bring up Jesus Christ. You know what this eunuch had? The eunuch had a classification with him. A Christian that is conscious about where they are and who they are, about gaining, about growing, about gratitude toward the Lord. They were classified. Look at verse 38. It says, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." He wanted that symbolism of what baptism is for. The burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He already believed on his death that he died for our sins, but he wanted to be classified. He wanted to be classified being obedient to the name of Christ, being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He wanted to be classified as somebody. And I'm going to tell you, we need to be classified today and show forth the glory and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And you know that baptism shows buried in the likeness of his death and raised again in newness of life. When you get saved and born again and you get out there in this community, beloved, we ought to show this world that we're new creatures. We're not what we used to be. We don't go where we used to go. We don't say what we used to say. I may not be what I should be, but I'm not what I used to be. Praise God. That's what we ought to do. And that's what that eunuch, he wanted to be. Listen, I want to be baptized. How do I get baptized? You got to be saved. I can believe that. I believe Jesus Christ. Let's get it on. He had that confession. It was a true confession that resulted in a beautiful conversion. And that boy said, I'm going to be classified as a child of God. Colossians 2:12 tells me over there, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who had raised him from the dead. Do you know we were dead in trespasses and sin prior to Jesus Christ moving in? We were dead in the iniquity that we received from the conception of birth that was passed down from the Garden of Eden. We were dead in our own sins. Our bodies were dead. Our spirits were dead. But Jesus Christ, the quickening Spirit, He stepped inside of us and He brought us back to life through giving victory over the grave and victory over death and victory over hell and paying the price and the penalty of sin. Amen. When He did that, praise God, we became a new creature. All things become new. That eunuch, he's just on his way home. Amen. He's just on his way home, having been there in Egypt, in Jerusalem to worship. And somehow he just ended up with the Word of God in his hand. And it made its way to his head. And it got into his heart. And this old boy exhibited 7 characteristics of a conscious Christian. He said, "Preacher, what's the 7th one? What does he have?" I'll tell you what he has. Something he never had in his entire life. Now, I don't want to get a week ahead of myself. I want to talk about this eunuch later on and tell you about who he really was and what he did and how God really used him. If you look in verse 39, the Bible tells me, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more." Watch this. "And he went on his way rejoicing." You know what this eunuch had in his life now? He had contentment. Friend, he had contentment in his life. That old guy was looking for something that he had never found. He was looking for some kind of peace. He was looking for some kind. Listen, he was religious. You know that because he was going to the holy city to worship. Amen. Boy, I meant you to preach that other message. That'd be another hour. He found joy, beloved. When the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ truly gets a hold of what Jesus Christ has done for him, when that believer gets saved and born again and his soul is spared from a godless hell, listen, when that happens, listen, when that believer sees that he's going to heaven because of what Christ did, not what he could ever do, joy sets in. Oh, George Whitfield got saved. He had joined that old holy club in Oxford with the Wesley boys. Wesley boys wasn't even saved when he started that club. Whitfield's the first one out of the trio there that got born again. Whitfield was running that Word of God in his heart. on the way to the meeting one night. It was bouncing around in his heart. It began to convict his soul. He'd been reading and teaching and preaching and yelling and hooping and hollering and singing all this time, and that old word of God started taking root inside of his heart right here. He realized he had religion with no righteousness. And he came to that same crossroads that eunuch did. And boy, he got a hold of it. You know what the first three words that came out of Whitfield's mouth when he got saved and born again, after he was saved and born again? Joy. Unspeakable joy. Can you imagine how that eunuch felt standing in that water? Philip yanked up there, never saw him again. He didn't get upset that he didn't see Philip. He didn't build an altar for Philip. You know what he did? He had joy because he had contentment in his life because Jesus Christ had come into his soul. Can you imagine what in the world he brought back to Ethiopia that night? Do you know what this eunuch realized? Do you realize tonight what really came into his heart as he rolled down the path on the way back to Africa? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what he realized. He realized that the one who committed no sin laid his life down because he called him friend. And he said, joy, unspeakable joy. He was a conscience Christian. He had some ethics about him. He was carrying the word of God. He craved to know about Jesus. He wanted to know as much. He was captivated by who and what he was. I mean, beloved, these are seven things that we should have in our life today. A confession. I mean, I think that most of all, if you got Jesus Christ in your heart and you're continuing to grow, you need to have commitment. I mean, contentment. You need to have contentment. You say, well, preacher, is there a rest of the story? Is there a Paul Harvey event in this issue with the eunuch? There is. Some years ago, a famous preacher, who I won't call his name, was on an airplane. Sat down to a well-dressed black man and had his Bible in his hand. He leaned over and he says, young man, do you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is? He said, yes, sir, I do. Before I'm saved and born again in the blood of Christ. He said that with an accent. He said, well, what American missionary led you to the Lord and where are you from? He goes, I'm from Ethiopia and my pastor led me to the Lord. He said, wow, praise God for that, Ethiopia. He said, what American missionary led your pastor to the Lord? He said, there wasn't one that led him to the Lord neither. He said, it was his pastor that led him. He said, praise the Lord. He said, then what American missionary led that pastor to the Lord? He said, it wasn't him, it was his father that led him to the Lord. He was also a pastor. Well, then what British missionary came over to the darkness and the vileness and the sinfulness of Ethiopia and led his father unto the Lord? He said, there wasn't one, none from Britain that led him to the Lord, for his daddy led him to the Lord. And the conversation went on and on and on for 10 and 15 minutes till finally the Ethiopian man on that plane told that preacher, he said, sir, you might not believe this or not, but our Christian heritage of where we have grown and outreached from in our dreadful nation, we trace our Christian heritage all the way back to the Ethiopian eunuch of Acts chapter 8. He said, glory be to God. He was a conscious Christian, friend. He carried the word of God back with contentment and joy in his heart, that he may set other people free from the bondages of death and hell. And beloved, we today in the United States of America, we today in the state of Tennessee, we today in Goodsville and Springfield and Greenbrier and Franklin and Murfreesboro and Davis and Sumner, Williamson and every county surrounding it, we too need to be conscious Christians, ethics and principles, that we may set free this world from the bondages of death and hell so that they may know the joy that is within you tonight. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you will, this evening.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 30072.